Hey, good morning. Welcome, everybody. All of you in here in the room and all of you watching online, welcome, welcome. I'm going to dive in. Before I dive into today's text, we're in week 8 of 9, so we finish next week, on a series called Transformed. We've been walking through the book of 1 Peter in the New Testament. We've gone through a lot, and today we're up to chapter 5. This is the last chapter. I'll do it in two parts, verse 1 through 7 today, and then the remainder next week. But I just want to say something super important. Next Monday, not tomorrow, the following Monday, is our monthly We Pray Night. Those of you who were here last time we had our We Pray Night, hundreds of you were here, life-changing, significant, and I believe atmosphere-changing and trajectory-changing for us as a church community. Therefore, next Monday at 7 o'clock is a night you have to be here. You have to be here. Some of you maybe don't feel confident in praying. Don't worry about it. You can come and simply sit in the presence of Jesus for the whole night. We interact, we share, we worship. It's incredible, but it's significant and really, really, really important. So whatever you have planned next Monday, 7 o'clock, change it. Change it, make that sacrifice. First Monday of October, we'll do it again first Monday of November and again first Monday of December. Then it's next year, but there's the focus. Don't miss it, please don't miss it. It is the most important gathering. October is gonna be a very, very, very significant month. And we started with that We Pray Night. It's gonna be incredible. And then there's a few more things in October you don't wanna miss, but that's the main one. Have I declared that strong enough? All right. Three things, here we go, with this series Transformed. We're having this language now. As a follower of Jesus, it's about learn, live, love. As a follower of Jesus, it's about we learn the words of Jesus, but we then have to live the ways of Jesus, and we have to love like Jesus. That's what a disciple is. That's discipleship. It's not enough to learn the words of Jesus. Not enough. We then have to live them out, put them in action, live the ways of Jesus. And he describes how we are to live. And then we have to love like Jesus. And that's a challenge. Learn, live, love. Last week, I talked about we have a choice to either live boldly or pursue comfort. Pursuing comfort is the human default setting. We either live boldly or we pursue comfort. In living boldly, we'll face opposition. But our faith strengthens through it. We become closer to Jesus, and as a result, we live more boldly. If we pursue comfort, then basically we avoid opposition and resistance. Our faith weakens, and we become so self-consumed that we atrophy. And then we try and satiate that by pursuing comfort. It's pretty obvious, but it's not easy. But let me give you today the next step. Peter leans in to these people, original audience, Asia Minor, modern day Turkey. There's 4 or 5 local churches that are gathered, and Peter's writing to them from a first-hand experience. He lived with Jesus, walked with Jesus. He's giving it and he's saying, guys, this is what matters. It's hard for them. Nero is the Roman ruler and he's persecuting them and torturing them and murdering them as followers of Jesus. It's difficult. It's hard. It's definitely not fair. That's what's going on. So how do we live boldly? We talked about it last week. Do you know what it is? This is the challenge today. It's do we live with humility or pride? Do we live in submission or with self-help? Living boldly, the pathway of living boldly, the pathway is humility. It's like, whoa. Living boldly is submission. Pursuing comfort is pride. Pride is, it's about me and this is what I want. But pursuing comfort is also about, oh, self-help. I'll fix this. I will do this. It's me, me, me. So I'm going to lean in today because Peter leans into the humility, pride, submission, self-help conversation. Let's read from 1 Peter chapter 5, just 1 through 4. I'm going to land hard today on 5 through 7. That's where I'll land hard. But 1 through 4 is important to hear. And for many of you, this is significant to hear. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 4, the text will be on screen if you don't have a Bible with you, and it says this: "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers." That's important. I'll come to it in a minute. "Not because you must, but because you're willing, because you want to." It's a heart thing. "As God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." So he started off by saying, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. He said this only a few chapters earlier in chapter 2. It's on the screen, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. He said, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, to Jesus, and the overseer of your souls." Here we go again. Jesus, shepherd, overseer of your souls. Now Peter's saying, you are to be shepherds and overseers. It's like, here we go again. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then he says, you are the light of the world. He's repeating that posture again. It's like, hello, because we are to be like Jesus. Learn his words, live his ways, love like Jesus. So leaders lead like Jesus. Live like Jesus. Shepherding, not lording it over them. And when you want to measure leadership from a biblical perspective, it's servant leadership all the time. There's no strong demand and rah, it's not that at all. Jesus didn't lead like that. It's a challenge. There is a humility in leadership. There's a submission in leadership. And so when you're considering who it is you're following, can I say this? If you as a leader demand to be followed, you've missed it. You've missed it. There's a willingness and there's a heart to it. And humility and submission are key. Here's the reality. When Jesus modeled leadership and then Peter's explaining to these guys, he's saying, and I'll come back to it. He didn't say it then, but we can do it in our context. What does it look like to be a leader like Jesus? I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like a bison. Here we go again. I'm not going to stop on this. Because the bison's role is everything else. Here's the storm. I'm going to go into it. There's the blizzard. We can't make a way. But as a leader, I do this for the sake of others. For the benefit of others. It's not about me. I'll hit the storm. I'll take the hit. I'll take the opposition. I'll take the oppression. I'm going to lean in because God's called me to it. And in his strength, we lean. And by so doing, we make a way for those who do not have a way. We make a pathway for people coming behind us. That's still servant leadership. It's not a leadership of serve me. Give me everything. No, don't lord it over them. Don't demand for stuff. Serve in humility. And this generation desperately need, as it said then, but be an example. Be an example. Because the world is trying to model leadership and trying to say this is the way to do it. And it's angry out there. But the servant leadership that passes the test of time and can be a legacy. Who is going to be the people to say, this is how we serve? So Peter's shared this whole thing to this whole these churches. Live holy, yes, and love others. Live holy and love others. And holiness is, the pathway of holiness is humility. It's humility. Now, some of us masculine type A guys, humility is a huge challenge. But at the same time, some of you may be a little bit more passive in your personality, but you've got a stubborn streak. So don't just think, oh, pride is these people who are arrogant. Whoa, 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 whoa. Pride is also demonstrated in just being stubborn. the silent aggressive types. It's all in there. And it's understandable with life. Now, with that being said, I'm going to go from verse 5 through 7. I'm going to sit in verse 5 and then 6 and 7. This is really well known. You've probably read it, those of you who've been following Jesus, you've probably read it multiple times. You've no doubt heard it. If you grew up in the church, you know that I had a song for it. And you've probably heard it before. But I'm going to suggest, you may have been learning those words, but have you been living the way of this? And as a result, are you living like Jesus? Because today, I believe some of you get to walk out of this space transformed by the word of God flowing into you, and it's dynamic and powerful. Here we go, 1 Peter 5, verse 5 through 7. I'll read it, then we'll break it down. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. I'll come back to it in a minute. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Maybe you've heard the cast your burdens on Jesus because he cares for you. Same thing. You've probably heard it multiple times. But the whole thing's flowing on. So it starts off with young men in the same way. Same way as what? Being an example. Shepherds of God's flock. That humility, that servant leadership. In the same way, this is how you do this. Be submissive to those who are older. Did you know you can lead from beneath? Did you know that leadership is 360 degrees? You get to lead those either side of you, lead those coming up and lead those above you. You get to be part of leadership. And do you know that young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older? This word submissive. Oh. To submit and be submissive has caused massive, massive, massive oppression and damage in the Western church. And we've reaped a harvest of it. I believe there's been a misunderstanding of biblical submission. We have applied a Western mindset and gone, Bible says submit, which basically means do as I say. Submit. You've just got to submit. I don't care if you like it or don't like it. You've just got to submit. No, that's called oppression. And we've oppressed people, and the harvest of that is being reaped. Some of you have been under that form of oppression in your life in some way or another. Can I just say, one of the many reasons we have a counseling center here, Grace Counseling, offers 10 free sessions of counseling. Some of you, the oppression that you've been under and you've received is really messed you up. And you need a pathway out of that. We're here for you. In all kinds of different ways. And when you read the word submit and submission throughout the New Testament, it's there a lot. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. That's there, to one another. It talks about submission in marriage. I'll touch on it, but a tiny little bit. It talks about young men submitting to those who are older. This submission thing is there. Peter talked about it even in chapter 3. There's something there. But we have to get a biblical understanding of what it meant. And I did my homework on this. I've been digging and looking at cultural context and what does it really mean. And I've tried to narrow it down to help us with this. And by the end of today, you'll see a picture of it. But it's really important. By definition, I've come up with these words to help with submission. And then we can relate it to young men with older guys. It says this, submission, biblical submission, is placing yourself, you place yourself under somebody else, under someone, by choice, with a willing and joyful spirit. It isn't, do whatever you want to me, I should have surrendered. Yes. It's me willingly placing myself under somebody else by choice, because the Lord says so. So I'm doing it out of obedience, but I'm willingly placing myself by choice under that person, willingly, with a joyful spirit, because I know and I trust this is what the Lord has said, and this is a good thing. Who I'm placing my submission under is significant. It isn't just because of a title. Because you get a lot. Some people demand to be, you should submit to me, and they wrench out of context the other scriptures, which are to do with the respect of that and how you're going to go about that. And so as a result, you actually violate and disqualify being submitted to. And then you're demanding it. I'm just saying this has messed a lot of people up in the church. A lot of people. And we've used this submit as a club. And it was never meant to be it. It's a family, generational, beautiful body together, supporting, encouraging, coaching, the whole thing. And if we can get a head around that, it will make a difference. And some of you go, I need to talk about this. Listen, I like coffee. You can seriously set up an appointment and meet with me. Let's talk about it. Let's have, because there's more than I can get into right now. You want to hang out? I don't have time to come. Let's set up a video call. Let's have a conversation about these things. Reach out to our counseling center and go, I need to journey through this. It's important, really important, because the harvest that's being reaped off this autocratic submission is a desert. And I'm just saying, what if we looked at this, and you'll get a picture of it today. So he goes on to say, young men in the same way be submissive to those who are older. I want to say this. Ari shared it before. With the revival that's happening in our college ministry of 350 plus college students coming and the need to get into smaller groups and grow, this is a generation that, I'm just going to say it, want to make a difference for the kingdom. They want to make a massive difference for the kingdom. We shouldn't just leave them to wing it. We've got to be alongside them and helping them in that. And that includes every sphere of life. What does it look like, some of you people who've got a corporate America career following Jesus? Do we just let these college kids graduate and just go into that den? Or is there somebody in their life who's gone before them and helped navigate them decisions? What does it look like to grow up in a family that's broken? And maybe you did. And how does that all look? There's so much. And what's happened is the enemy has made us so self-centered that we've had generational division. We've made it all about me and my generation. I'll say it and I will fight you over it. We can do it with fists if you want. The most important generation is always the next one coming. It always is. King David said, I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. He was always looking for what's coming. It's critical. So we get a role to play. What does it look like? Let's just say, Aaron finds out that 200 college kids want to be in a small group. Who's going to step in and fill the gap? Who's going to step in and open the home and hang out with them? Who's going to talk about life? And it's like, I don't know how to do that. We just have your questions from the message if you want. And share life and be in their life. You will be blessed beyond measure. Me and Mel are going to do one. Not every week. It'd kill us. We're doing it every other week. Every other week. Then come to our house. Mel will cook for them. Free food, guys. Home cooked. Not Panda Express. Anyway, moving on. Mo and his wife Carl are going to do one. We're not just preaching it. What's it look like? What does it look like? Some of you guys are like, yeah, I'll do one, 6 a.m. Wednesday. If there's guys up for it, they're up for it. There's 24 hours in a day. Maybe for you, it's a couple. Maybe for you, it's just women reach out, some girls need some coaching, some helping with life. What if we did this? What if we broke this generational divisional curse? And we got alongside him and went, we have. What if we'd say to the enemy, you're telling me that generation don't like me. That's a lie. The media out there are going, oh, they just don't know. No, not when we have relationship with them and you're able to share your vulnerability and your successes and your failures, what would it look like to do that? Because I'm telling you, how can young men be submissive to those who are older if they don't have them in their life? So let's have that. And when we understand submission in a moment, you'll see the beauty of it. So that is it. So Aaron shared it. For some of you, it's simply, okay, we'll do it. We'll do it every week or every 2 weeks. It's going to be Thursday at 10 o'clock at night, whatever. And then you go to that meeting in 2 weeks' time and you say, okay, here we are. Here's our place that we'll meet. You're allowed to meet anywhere, just not on campus. Could be a coffee shop, could be a restaurant, could be a park because the weather gets good, could be your house, your apartment, your garage, whatever. We'll navigate how many and what is that. We'll herd the cats somehow as that goes. But I'm just thinking, wow. Like, wow. Are we prepared to let another generation learn simply on their own? It's not right. That was too strong. Moving on. All of you, it carries on, all of you. Who's this to? All of you, so pay attention, the rest of you. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. This language, of all the languages that Peter's using, this clothe yourselves. I am so personally grateful that every single one of you today, when you got up, decided to clothe yourselves. I'm so grateful. You know, it would have been a spectacle if that not happened, we'd have all got arrested. But you made a decision to clothe yourselves today. You decided to put on what you put on because you wanted to wear that. So maybe for some of you who work out, I'm suggesting you maybe not wear the clothing you're wearing right now. It would be inappropriate or ineffective clothing. You wear what you believe is appropriate for the activity that you are going to do. You clothe yourselves. You make a decision, you put it on. Peter then goes, clothe yourselves. I'm going to tell you what to put on. Clothe yourselves with humility. It's coming in. Don't forget the context and culture of that day. They have reason to be frustrated, reason to be angry, reason to go for revenge, reason to get even with those people, reason to pray in such a way that was, God, would you destroy these Romans? Reason. They've got reason. And he's going, humility. Clothe yourselves with humility. Can I make a suggestion? Maybe somehow, some way, you may want to get a sticky note or a piece of paper, put it on a coat hanger in your closet and write humility on it. Because humility, for most of us, your humility's clothing is at the back somewhere. It's in a drawer and you've got to go find it. Because humility isn't the first thing that comes to mind. Humility isn't your comfy clothing. The ones that you just go, oh, I love wearing these. No, humility is an intentional decision. I've got to clothe myself with humility. That means not the ego clothes, not the get even clothes, not the pride clothes, not the everybody look at me clothes, not the fill in the blank clothes, but the humility clothing. It's in your closet. It's just hidden somewhere. And what if there was an intentionality that say, okay, Lord, today, help me clothe myself with humility. Because that's what he's saying. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. So when you get into a conversation in the marketplace, in your home, in the workplace, wherever it may be, you're in a conversation, what are you clothed with? Or is it just the same clothing that's on social media? The same clothing in the news media? But what if there were some people wearing different threads? What if your swag was different? So then humility, we know, what's the opposite? Pride. So living boldly is humility. Pursuing comfort is pride. So he says, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, and he gives a reason why. This is shocking. Here's why, he says, not because it's a good idea, not because you'll be nice and liked more, No, the real reason you've got to put on humility is because it's the way that makes you more like Jesus. And he says this even more. He quotes a proverb from the Old Testament. He says, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The Lord wants to give his grace constantly, not just the salvation grace, but grace. But he opposes the proud. I looked at it, studied the word, looked at all its different forms. It's anything but neutral. God opposes the proud. He's against their behaviors. He opposes it. He gives grace to the humble. Which do you want? It's just there. The heart of God is saying there is a better way. Not you, not pride, not self-help, but humility and submission. Will you trust me in this? And just to be clear, I'm asking you to do something, Jesus said, that I've already done. Philippians 2, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. There is nothing that my king asked me to do that he has not done. There is nothing that my king asked me to do that he has not already modeled, that he's not already set an example with. And then he says, now I want you to do the same. I want you to set an example of that. I want you to be the example of humility. I want you to be the example of submission. Be the example, because there's not a lot of it out there. Even in the church world. Sadly, especially in the church world. We've taken submission and made it oppressive. And we've taken humility and it's become pharisaical. So moving on, we then get to this moment. Can I just say, this whole series, as we said, it's not easy when you face opposition. It's not easy choosing to live boldly. It's not easy striving for unity when you've got disagreement. It's not easy choosing love when somebody has hurt you. As I said a couple of weeks ago, I will look over an offense. I will look over that. It's not easy when your instinct is that hurt, let me hurt you. It's not easy when people falsely accuse you. It's not easy, fill in the blank. It's not easy following Jesus. If any man should come after me, he should deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He made it pretty clear. It's not easy, but he doesn't leave us in it. This is the purpose of submission. He then gives the pathway. He then gives, I know it's heavy and hard, but there's more. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. He's got the strength. You don't have to have it all yourself, that he may lift you up in due time. And here's the beauty of the verse that I think many of us know here, but not here. We know it, but we've not encountered it. And you will only encounter it when you step into it in humility and submission, and it's life-changing. He says, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. I don't believe the big discussion in people in the world right now is getting to a conversation of proving that God is there. The biggest hurdle they've got isn't, is God there, it's does God care? Because the people who are following God, he cares for you. He cares for you. Even in simplistic leadership terms, from leadership gurus and experts, they will say, it's more important that you offer a hand in leadership. That's the critical thing. Offer a hand more than just tell them where to go. That's just in worldly leadership practice. Who cares? Who genuinely cares? And don't forget the context. Peter's writing this to these people who are under severe oppression and persecution. Family members have no doubt been tortured and killed. And this is all for following Jesus. It's all there. And he's saying, all your anxiety, all cast all your anxiety on him because he cares. I don't know if he cares or not. Have you asked? Have you genuinely cast all your anxiety? So let me just go with this. Epiripto is the Greek word for this, cast all your anxiety. You don't need to know the Greek word, but this is what it literally means. Casting your anxiety means to transfer one's concerns, worries, anxieties. Transfer them. It doesn't mean, here's all my worries, take them and I'm good. Doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean I just throw them all to one side and no worries, mate. It means I transfer those concerns onto somebody else. I transfer them. I don't dissolve responsibility for them, but I'm transferring. There is a partnership. I'm transferring this. I'm transferring it. Now, with that in mind, this week, I'm not a kind of guy who kind of like gets pictures of stuff. I'm good with looking for illustrations, but an image came into my mind preparing this week that really, really helped me, and I believe it will help you. Before I give it, let me ask you about your anxieties, your concerns, your worries. We are living in an epidemic of anxiety. It's very true, it's very real. And again, our counseling center is here. For some of you have got acute anxiety. And let me just make this suggestion to you. We all need anxiety and resistance and opposition to grow. Now, there's some acute versions, and you need the skills and the tools to help you with that. And that's why amongst counseling and getting wise counsel to help you with that. The answer isn't remove it. The answer is not remove it. If we remove all of that, you will get soul atrophy. Therefore, you'll get weaker. But it's very real. Very, very real. And we're here to help with that. And there's all different ways. But your worries, your concerns, your anxieties, some of you aren't thinking, oh, I've got an anxiety problem. Some of you, but your dominant here is you are freaking out about the world right now. Oh, I understand. You're freaking out about this nation right now. You're really overly concerned about a member of your family in a situation that they're in, and you're worried about it. You've got a big anxiety for somebody else who's lost a loved one. You've got a big anxiety about your health or somebody else's health, and it's true, and it's at the forefront of your mind. You're worried about whether or not you can pay the bills in the next couple of weeks. You're worried about, they're all very, very real. It just says cast all of that, transfer that onto him because he cares. And you will experience the caring Father heart of God when you do that. To not cast your anxiety on him, to not cast your concerns onto him, to not transfer them is pride. It's pride. It's, I will fix it. How's that going? I will get, but what about him? Now, the Lord can bring people around you to help you with that journey. Yes, that's part of the wonderful journey of being in his family. But can we just say it? To try and fix that outside of King Jesus is pride. It's pride. It's, I don't need you, God. When you actually do. And for some of you, you've been so beaten down and so oppressed that actually you don't believe God wants to help you anymore. Or you think you're not good enough for him to help you anymore. And this is so trapping. And it's a worry. But let me ask you this. What specific concerns, worries, anxieties do you really need to transfer and cast upon him today? And what would change about your life if you were to do so? What would change if you were to do so? So here's the image. I was going to illustrate it fully physically, but I overdid it with my back the last couple of days, and if I did that, it may be a real mess on that stage. So you've got to picture this with me. I remember as a dad when my children were significantly smaller than they are right now. You'd be out for the day. Maybe it was on a hike, or you were at a theme park. You're at a theme park. It's crazy busy, the whole thing, and it's time to get set up for the parade. And there's a scramble, isn't there? All the people are going in a certain direction, and the kids are little, they've been on their feet all day, and they're all there, and you're, come on now, let's go. And you've only got so many hands, and we had four kids. We still have four kids, but they were kids. And so you're carrying them, and you're like, okay, off we go. And you, me in my younger years, and 6 feet tall, they are 1 foot six tall, and come on, and their little legs can't carry on, and they're already tired, and they're all, and you're like, oh, we're enjoying this, and you're dragging them along, all of that's going on, and it's all getting a bit crazy, and there's this moment in life when sometimes your kids say, hey, Dad, can you carry this for me? And sometimes you'll go, yeah, sometimes you'll go, come on, you can carry it yourself. You know, you can carry it yourself. And so you'll navigate that when you'll look at it, and maybe you'll negotiate with the, really? Don't be so pathetic. You know what I mean? Carry it yourself. Parenting tip number one. Don't do everything for your kids. Anyway, moving on. But this is what, I'm not talking about helping carry something of theirs, but there comes a point where there's a child and they're just straight out honest, a little bit scared about the busyness of all around them. They can't see, all they can see is everybody else's knees. It's crazy busy, there's hustle bustle. You're dragging them somewhere, they don't know where they're really going. And then you get this moment. And you, even as a dad, you see that the situation you want them in is a burden. And there's some fears. They can't see. It's chaotic. They're tired. They don't think they've got the strength to keep up. And even though that's going on, as a father, you don't just pick them up in these environments, you put them on your shoulders. I think there's no better dad feeling than carrying your kids on your shoulders. And I remember doing this until my kids weren't littles. They were a bit older. Like I'm talking 17. They were a little bit older. Maybe more the 7 than the 17. But, you know, and some of you are thinking, Des, it wasn't you, it was Mel. She's stronger than you. I get it. No. But you would pick, and you just do. There's nothing that can come at you in that moment that would cause you to let go of your child. Now, some of my kids would grip my head. And you're like, I can't see. Like, you know what I mean? But you're holding. And some of them are a bit more free-spirited. And you've got a hold of the legs and they're like, way! And you're holding on. But nothing's going to stop it. All of a sudden, the situation they were in, the chaos they were in, the fatigue they were in, the location geographically was the same. Their circumstances all around them was the same. But when I put them on my shoulders, they got a different view. When I put them on my shoulders, they could see things that they would never have been able to see unless they were on my shoulders. Their legs got some rest. We could move at the pace of the Father, not their pace. They could progress through, and they all of a sudden had their concerns and their worries carried. They were still alive. They were still in the same circumstance. But all of a sudden, things looked different on their shoulders. So let me demonstrate this for you. For some of you, have you ever experienced the Father of God taking a seat and saying to you, climb on? I got you. Now, when the kids were super little, I could pick them up and do a swip move and put them on your shoulders. You knew that. But as they got a bit bigger, there came a point and they would be more tired and I couldn't do that move anymore. And if there wasn't somewhere for me to sit, I would have to get right down. Get right down and go, okay, climb on, climb on. Sometimes Mel would have to lift them and put them on. She'd do it with one arm because she's strong. And put them on. And then I literally would have hold of them and go, are you ready? Lean forward, brace your core, boom. And for them, everything changed. And the nobility and the dignity of carrying that child. And you walk with them. When's the last time you heard the Father in heaven say, "Get on my shoulders"? King Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Cast all your anxiety," where? "On him." On him, because he cares for you. I believe King Jesus sits in this house today and says, these worries, these concerns, these anxieties, all of them, they all matter. Nothing too small, nothing too big. You're still in the same geographical location. It looks pretty bleak, but let me give you a different view. Transfer that concern on me. Cast it on me, and together, experience what it means for me to care for you. And a good parent caring will go, "Okay, are we good? All right, should we get down for a while? Are you good to walk again? Let's go, okay." You need to encounter that, because you'll play a role in lifting somebody else up at some point. But if you've never experienced it yourself, how can you lead somebody else that way? Some of you need to encounter that so you can get alongside. There's a generation who needs to know what it is to generationally care, so that they know that in their 19, 20, 21, 22 years, they remember being carried, walking on the shoulders, sat on the shoulders of Jesus, so that one day they can, when they get a bit older, say, "Hey, these college kids, these high schoolers, you should come to our house." Break that cycle and make a difference. And so what I'm going to do today is this. I'm going to declare a passage that you know from Isaiah 40 over all of us, with the image of the Father saying, "Get on, get on. I hear it, I see it, I love you." And to not get on is pride. And God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's humility that says, "I cannot, God, but I believe you can." It's humility that says, "I'm at the end of myself, Lord, come meet with me." It's humility that says, "Lord, you've blessed me with all this, but I need your nurturing right now. I need your wisdom right now. I need your strength right now." So let me declare Isaiah 40, and then I'm going to call you to have a response today. I'm going to call you. Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31. It's not on screen, the reference is, but here's the scripture. Visualize this. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth." You want some strength? You want some broad shoulders? "The creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who wait in the Lord, those who trust in the Lord, those who sit on the Lord's shoulders will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles." Dad, you know what it is. You've been an eagle. You've been an eagle for your kids at times. And for some of you, you've never experienced that. You can today. "They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." It's God's promise. And that was centuries before Jesus went, "And I will show you." And so today, for some of you, when we read, "Humble yourselves," 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, "humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Some of you have never done that. You've never surrendered a kingship, a lordship to him. You've never taken that moment. You've thought, "I'll do all that I can do, and maybe God can help." No, the Lord is my help. He is my help. And that's a salvation and a lordship issue. So for some of you, today is an all-in day, or should I say, an all-on day. In humility, for it is by grace you've been saved. You can't earn it. Through faith. Faith, take a step of faith. Secondly, there's some of you in here who are having a real war right now with humility and pride. That's all I have to say about that, because some of you know there's a real war with humility and pride. We need to break that curse. And it's a hard path, and it's a daily decision. And thirdly, and I think for the overwhelming majority of you in the room, you've got a bunch of concerns and worries and anxieties. And God's saying, transfer it, cast it, throw it on me, because I care. And you'll never know how much I care until you do that. He's demonstrated how much he cares. But for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. The joy set before him. You, your soul, your salvation, your restoration, your redemption, your purpose, your calling, your legacy in the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus. This is what you get to do. Cast all of it on him. So I'm going to ask our leaders and prayer partners to come down front right now. Get out your seats, guys and gals, super quick. Come out down front. Leaders and prayer partners, come down front. Your options are this today. Option number one, some of you, when it comes to, I've never sat on the arms and the shoulders of the Father, and I need to put all of my life on him. You come down, you go to a prayer partner and just say, I need to get on the shoulders of my Father and give my life fully to him. That's the case, you'll come down, find someone, I'll pray with you, and all of heaven rejoices. Secondly, for some of you who are fighting the humility pride deal, come to a prayer partner, but I'd also encourage you, grab a kneeler and go kneel down in surrender. Down front for a while. Go kneel down. Humble yourselves, therefore. Just go do that and say, I refuse to let this keep a hold of me. And thirdly, for those of you, and many of you, you've got some real stuff going on. Burdens, anxieties, it's dominating your mind. Some hurt, some pain, whatever it may be. In the name of Jesus, praying together with a prayer partner, let's pray over that and start that journey. Maybe for some of you, it's engage with other people. Maybe it's counseling. Maybe, but we're here to start and go, this is it. I'm going to sit on the shoulders of my Father. So let's all stand. And this is how we're going to do this. I'm going to pray in a moment. And then from that point on, the starting pistol goes, make you out to a prayer partner. They're all the way across. Come, they'll pray with you. Prayer time, as we're praying, if you're nearby and the music's too loud for you, prayer partners, just drag them to one side, like out of there and do that. But we'll continue after the song's finished. But our closing song is the same as last week's closing song. It's called Lamb. He didn't suffer for nothing. He did not suffer for nothing when he shed his blood. Every drop was on purpose because he loves you. Cast all your anxiety on him. Lamb of God, worthy. Give him your everything. Okay? Let's pray. King Jesus, I give my life to you today. For my friends here, would you give them the confidence, but the boldness, the faith to go, enough is enough. I need to sit on the shoulders of my King, my Father. I need to cast all my anxiety on him. Lord, I'm wrestling with humility and pride. That needs to be broken in the name of Jesus. All my very life and everything in it needs to be fully surrendered to you. I pray, Lord, that we take a step, that we leave here actually on the shoulders of our Father, not just on our own two feet. We give our very lives to you and everything in it, Lord, for your glory in Jesus.